This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
Okay, welcome back to the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Everyone, Wild Spring Dunes officially opens all 18 holes on September 8th, bringing one of the most anticipated new golf destinations in the country to East Texas. The first course was designed by Tom Doak. The second course, which we'll talk about with our guest Tom today, will come from Coore and Crenshaw, and that's already in development. But this is a long-term vision for a property that goes well beyond just 36 holes. I had the chance to play Wild Spring Dunes about a year ago while the property was still taking shape. I'll be back out there September 10th for the opening media day. And joining us now to talk about how this property has evolved, what golfers can expect, and where Wild Spring Dunes is headed, joining us is Director of Communications, Tom Farrell. Tom, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to ESPN Houston today.
Hey, Will, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, Tom, I got a chance to play Wild Spring Dunes about a year ago, as aforementioned. We're now a little more than a week away from the official opening. From your perspective, what all has changed over the last year?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we started by opening 8 holes for preview play, and we did that for a while, and then opened 12. And we let certain people, including you and some select media, play all 18 holes back in December. I think I would start by saying if you came to Wild Spring Dunes during any of those times, you have not been to Wild Spring Dunes. This course came together exceedingly fast. It was, the architects began working on the ground. Of course, they had already cleared, they had already routed. That happened over a period of about 2 to 3 years. But once they put shovels in the ground, that was on January 4th of 2025. So if you think about that, just an amazing pace. And then we began sodding in August of last year, so almost exactly a year ago. You actually played on some fairways in early December that had been sodded on Halloween. So
I didn't even notice, Tom. I mean, it was in perfect condition, in my opinion.
So what will be different? Well, we have an incredible superintendent in Chad Kuzawa. And Chad did grow in at Trinity Forest in Dallas. He did grow in at the Apogee Club down in Florida. Kind of his whole career, he had been waiting on a call from a Kaiser, and one of those came from Michael Kaiser, inviting him to join us at Wild Spring Dunes. And we benefit greatly from his decision to have done that. He's one of the best. But what you're going to see is a much more mature, much more characteristic Tom Doak playing surface, where you have bounding and bouncing, and the ground game is a real option for you. I mean, if you're if you can nip and spin a little pitch shot, you can play those shots, but if you want to run a ball up, you generally have the option of doing that. And that kind of unlocks the whole strategy of the course is when do you take on the risk of the dangerous but playable shot? And when do you play a little more cautiously and defensively? Because as you know, there are a lot of fall offs and a lot of internal contouring on the greens that can make what seems to be a good looking roll turn into a difficult next putt.
So many phenomenal false fronts and roll offs that you just don't see from back in the fairway when you're hitting your approach. Absolutely love that aspect of the course, Tom. What did Mr. Kaiser and Mr. Doak, How did they realize that that piece of property and that land was going to make for a special course?
So great question. And I want to first thank Texas, right? Because Texas, we weren't looking for anything in Texas, right? Now, I work with Michael Kaiser Jr. So Mike Kaiser's son, we call Mr. Kaiser. We call Mike's dad Mr. Kaiser. He of course brought us Bandon Dunes, which we all love. Michael has brought Rodeo Dunes, Wild Spring Dunes, and soon Old Shores in Florida. So he has really stepped into his own as a developer, and he is deeply involved in evaluating the property and the golf course design as it's drawn up. So what impressed him about the property in Texas? Well, he got a call from Brett Messerall, native Texan, lives in Dallas. Brett Messerall fronted a group, was part of a group that had already identified this land. They had been up to Sand Valley, one of Michael's other properties. He owns that with his brother Chris. And Sand Valley in 10 years has become one of the world's top golf destinations. They went on a trip up there and came back going, man, there's nothing like this in Texas, right? We ought to put something together. And they set about searching out the land. And they evaluated, Brett evaluated over 1 million acres of land and came back to the first piece of property he had evaluated, which was the property that is now Wild Spring Dunes. And Brett had gotten the conversations going with Tom Doak and Bill Coor and Ben Crenshaw. And let me tell you, as someone who has worked in this industry for 25 years, that's not easy to do. So getting them onto the property and all this, but they got to a certain point. And this was a group that had never developed it, a golf destination. It's kind of I mean, you can develop skyscrapers and commercial malls and residential communities, but a golf course is a totally different animal, right? And I think they got to the point and said, it would behoove to have someone in who's brought these things over the goal line before. And they contacted Michael Kaiser. He said, no, not interested. Thank you. Got my hands full. And then was talked into a visit down there. And he made the trip and within 2 weeks had the framework of a deal together. He called me. He said, man, I think we're gonna do this thing in Texas. He said, it is so good. He's like, I don't even want to do it, but I have to because it is so good. Tom loves it. Talking of Tom Doak, Bill and Ben love it. And I walked it and couldn't even believe it was Texas, right? And so he started.
When you walk through the tree lines of Wild Spring Dunes, is there another place that it takes you to in this world? And what I mean by that is I share the same sentiment. When I got out there, I forgot I was in Texas. Where does that vision come from? Or did it come across naturally?
Yeah, I think it came across naturally, Will. I will tell you the first time I walked it, which was a few months after Michael had been there, I was walking up what is now the fourth fairway. And if you remember that, it's a big uphill around the bend par four. And I was walking up there, and there's a spot where you have this long view. Now, mind you, I'd already been down and explored the springs down in the bottom of the gully on number three, which was amazing. And I'd climbed up and was now walking up number four. And I got this long view. And I turned to Brett and my colleague Olivia. And I said, man, I'm getting the feeling of the Southern Appalachians here. I'm from Georgia. And we had a house when I was growing up in the North Carolina mountains, just over the Georgia line. And it really feels like that to me, the hardwoods, the pines. The springs are over there. Well, there are 11 springs we know of on the property, but I know there are ones we don't yet know of. And it's just a really unique piece of ground. I mean, it has a fall that comes to it. You get color. The pines keep it green all year. It's just a remarkable piece of ground, and the movement of it. Listen, I'm not an expert on Texas, but of the parts of Texas I've been to, you generally don't see this kind of movement.
No, a lot more flat. I mean, the hills and the valleys, the ebbs and the flows of the whole golf course, it has, as you said, a little bit of the Appalachian feel mixed in with almost an option to play it as a links style golf course. I mean, you talked about the ability to play the ball on the ground at Wild Spring Dunes. Was that created intentional? Because as you said, in Texas, we're more used to seeing a softer aerial feel type of golf course.
Yeah, this is the underlying beauty of sand, right? And that's what Michael looks for in any property. I'm not saying he would never get captivated by a loamy or a clay site or anything like that, but those are very different golf courses. And the substrata underneath the turf is very different, right? Sand is nature's perfect filter. Water runs through the turf and goes straight down, right? So the turf doesn't retain it. The turf grows lean and mean and kind of fights for its survival. And think of it as going, that's turf going to the gym, right? It really battles it out. As a result, you get this turf that you can very closely cut. And you've got the sand underneath that just provides a springy, kind of bouncy surface as the fast and firm conditions you hear about.
And over the last year, when you're having media members and people out to come test the course, was there any learning that happened there? What was there any reactions to the golf that you were surprised by? Anything y'all went back to the drawing board and took another look at?
Yeah, there was actually. It's a very good question. And I would say in the end, probably the greatest value we got out of the preview period was not planned that way, but the greatest value we got was seeing the golf course in play. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples. Number two, par five, if you remember.
Great
And
hole.
yeah, it's a great hole. And there's a big tree at the right-hand corner of a dog leg off the tee. And, the idea was always to play left of the tree. Well, I don't know what round it was that I played there. It might have been my fourth or fifth round. Someone hit it right. Might have been in that media day. Someone hit it right. And I discovered, lo and behold, there were wetlands over there, right? Now, obviously, everybody who had ever been over there knew that, right? But once again, those little springs babbling around. And so what we were able to do based on seeing people be shocked to find their ball kind of in an unplayable situation, we were able to build up the ground around that was the low ground, and show more turf off the tee while also showing the definition of that little creek that meanders and goes off to the creek that connects to the next hole, as a matter of
Wow.
fact. So we're able to raise that and
Incredible detail, Tom.
change the character of the hole dramatically, right? I mean, now a guy like you, college player, young, hits it a mile, I'm sure. That you have the option to take it out to the right of that big tree and hook it around and end up with a mid iron into that hole. And that just didn't exist, right, when it came up. Second thing we saw, number four, two holes later, big up and over around a bend par four. There's a long, thin bunker that runs along the left side, and the fairway bounds from right to left, and balls end up in there. The bunker wasn't quite high enough at its back edge to keep balls from rolling down into the native area. And so we were able to build up that bunker and raise the back a little bit. And now the bunker contains the balls, which is as it should be, right? So things like that were just crucial as we saw them.
And Tom, when you're talking about all these different options, does it come to the mind of the designer and the architect and the owner that this is a a golf course where the elite player can get creative, but it's also very playable for the higher handicap.
Yeah, I mean, the holy grail of golf design, particularly the design that we're after, that Michael is after, and that Tom Doak or Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw are after, is playable for the higher handicap and enjoyable, right? And challenging for the lower handicap. And honestly, we would probably err, Will, on most of our courses on the playable side, right? It's fun, it's fun. But those internal contours to the greens we talked about, those fall-offs and deception bunkers and all that, they will wreak havoc with a good player. You stand up, hole number six, great example. Par four goes down from the tee, bends around a native area to the right. There's a very subtle hog back in the fairway. So that fairway, you stand there and it looks giant. It's generous from the tee, right? But if you're playing the back tee and you hit the ball a long way, if you are anywhere right of the center line on that fairway, you're going to end up in the bunker complex and the native down there, right? Now, if you're playing a little further up and you don't hit it quite so far, you get to play off to the left, right? And so the fairway is much wider for that player than it is for the good player trying to really post a score. So that's just a perfect example of how architecturally those features will get utilized and applied to different styles of the game.
Understood. Wonderful description there. One of my favorite aspects of Wild Spring Dunes, I love the tradition in this, walking only. Now, was that, always considered to be an identity of Wild Spring Dunes, or was it an operational decision?
No, it's one of those things. I mean, we believe in walking. We believe at that it's best to play at the speed of golf, right? Which is on foot. We believe in caddy programs. We believe in the caddy program at Wild Spring Dunes. We recognized this year during our little founder preview season of June and July, that there are some. We're dealing with more heat at that site than we have anywhere else. And we had for 2 months the ability to take a cart at certain times of
Okay.
day, right? As a safety precaution. But our strong preference is for walking. We believe that it presents the game better, that our guests see the subtleties and the design intent and brilliance of our designers when they're walking and they feel the ground underneath their feet. We believe it encourages better conversation, relationships, friendships, and then a better experience, right? So walking, Bandon is walking only. Again,
Yes.
we're not officially connected with Bandon other than a generational connection between father and son, right? Which is significant. Sand Valley is walking only. Rodeo Dunes is walking only. We believe in walking.
The round is so much m more memorable on foot. I don't think
Oh,
there's any doubt.
yeah. I mean, you think about it. Why would you reduce golf to hitting a shot, getting to the next one as fast as possible? That's just basically a moving driving range, right? And
I completely agree, Tom. I
When
completely
you
agree.
walk it, you take a moment, you hear the birds at Wild Spring Dunes are outrageous, right? The views are outrageous. There's a point where twice I've seen the moon rising and the sun setting from the same point, right? There you hear the sound of the water. It's not overwhelming because it's just those little springs trickling around. It's just a better way to play. I don't know what to say.
And now you described it perfectly, Tom. What's how is the full destination infrastructure coming along as far as the lodging and potentially a restaurant and the permanent clubhouse? How is all that coming along?
So I'm going to start by saying we've got, and I've seen a lot of golf clubs open in my day, a lot of golf courses open. We have the single best hospitality plant for a temporary facility that I have ever seen. The food at Wild Spring Dunes Retreat,
Ah.
it's amazing. And it's amazing right now, not, oh, wait until it opens. We're going to have good food. It's good now,
The
right?
sausage turnover off the seventh
It's
C where Chef
amazing,
Ta, I mean.
right? And we're gonna stick with that, you know. So right now the Hitchin Post, you come in, there's a temporary clubhouse, very nice golf shop, very nice deck where you can, you know, with a fireplace with big screen TVs, you know, it's a true hospitality place. Now, what we're doing, our first homes are underway there. Like Sand Valley, most of our accommodations will be private homes that participate in our rental pool. And if there are any of you sly golfers listening to this, the opportunity to buy and own at Wild Spring Dunes and enjoy your home with your fellow golfers and your family and your associates, your business, enjoy it, you know, during each year. And make significant income on it when you're not there. It is a real opportunity. So I would encourage
And
everyone.
in a rental aspect, when you're
Correct.
not at the home that you own, there will be opportunity to rent out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And we are looking, you know, we've got a hotel already designed. It'll be a smaller hotel. We would like most of our accommodations to be privately owned homes, right? And we have a number of pre-selected floor plans. You can do customs on certain lots. We've got lots on the lake, on the little lake that you saw,
Yeah.
and then back in the woods and on the ravines, 80-foot drops down into these little spring-fed creeks. It's amazing. I
Wow.
mean, you sit there and you're in the woods, and then up at the top of the property, we will have the village, which is where you'll have higher density cottages, you'll have restaurants, you'll have the clubhouse, you'll have the practice facility, you'll have a 36-hole putting course, and not just a great big putting green, but it's 36 individually routed holes. With hazards and the whole thing. So it'll be very, very cool for children of all ages, as I've said on that. You know, it's that'll be fantastic. And then we've got the 12-hole course being designed by Jim Craig, who did the Commons up at Sand Valley. And let me tell you, that is, again, about as much fun as you can have in golf. You know, for people who maybe they only walk 18, maybe they don't walk 36, maybe they want to play late in the evening when they arrive or play early in the morning when they leave, right? So, we want people to have the opportunity to play golf essentially every moment they're on the property, if that's what they'd like to do.
And every level has something to do. I mean, whether it's from infant to the junior golfers, the female golfers, and of course, everyone else. It seems like everyone's going to be able to stay busy around this property.
And I mean, there are walking trails that we've just now begun to put together, right? A grad student over at Stephen F. Austin University is doing I guess you'd call it an almanac, right? Of all the geologic, the geology, the flora, and the fauna of the site, right? So there's a lot to do shortly off the property. You got the fishing, you've got canoeing and some of those incredible swamps and wetland trails up, you know, half an hour away. It's a diverse and beautiful area. And then you've got the towns of Mount Enterprise, which is welcoming everybody. It's wonderful. And 20 minutes away, Nacogdoches, the oldest town in Texas, which, you know, I'll tell you, it's the home of Stephen F. Austin University. And it's just a charming, quaint, historic town that to me gives me vibes of Santa Fe back before Santa Fe got too popular.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Is there any detail you can give us on the second course, Tom? What Coor and Crenshaw are currently working on?
So I'll tell you, Will, it's cool. The first tee in the Doak course is way up on Mount Baldy, 40-foot drop, down to the first fairway. Yes, 40-foot drop for all you listening in Texas. We've got that on the first tee shot. Then if you go the other way, essentially off that tee, although it will not be a shared tee complex, you go toward the what we would call the quote flatter end of the property. The beauty of it though is it's really not too flat. It's in fact the first hole in Coor and Crenshaw, of course, will climb steeply. Then you're up in the meadow area. Now, when we've cleared that area, we've discovered these beautiful little micro contours. They were so small they didn't even really play well on a topo map, right? But they give the fairways this like ruffles have ridges kind of flavor, and the pronounced feature of that course will be the integration of the ravines and the springs. Several holes. The stretch from 10 to 14 back there on the Coor and
Wow.
Crenshaw will be world renowned, right? It's really, really cool. And lots of double fairways, double approaches, elevation changes, perched green sites or fairways up on the lips of these ravines. Really a dramatic golf course.
Wow. Wow. And this is all right in between, in the perfect spot in between Houston and Dallas, Tom. I mean, is that, I mean, the two biggest cities in Texas. I mean, the idea that this piece of land was right there. I mean, it's meant to be.
Yeah, and like I say, we have never sat around on anything and said we need to open a facility in Florida, in Colorado, in Texas. We don't do that. We would if we find the magical site and it's buildable and we can make it feasible, we'll build there, right? Because that's how you build great golf courses, is with great sites. There are very good golf courses that are built on challenging sites, but there are very few great golf courses that are not built on great sandy,
Yeah.
wooded,
Especially,
rugged sites.
Tom, I mean, here in Texas, of course we have some great private clubs, but we haven't been historically on the same level as other states as being nationally recognized for multi-course, public golf destination. And I think Wild Spring Dunes can fundamentally change golf tourism in Texas.
Well, I hope you're right. And, I agree. I mean, your first point, I didn't mean to overlook that, being kind of situated with a triangulated point with Houston and Dallas. And it's funny, our team, when we're making trips in there, I'm currently living in New Orleans, but I'm from Colorado originally. I'm from Georgia back before that. Old, well-traveled, right? But
Nonsense, Tom.
when we fly into to visit Wild Spring Dunes, or now I drive in, but I have flown through Houston, I have flown through Dallas. We have people who prefer each one, right? I like Houston because I like the immediacy of leaving the airport and being right on the road,
Yes,
right?
sir.
Dallas, I love the fact that you can be right there in downtown Dallas, and we have so many founders and business partners in Dallas, and the same is true in Houston. I mean, it's really a kind of a dream site in that, and it's far enough away from both of them that you feel like you've left the city, right? We had a little
Absolutely.
tagline that we used for a while called "Get out of the city and into the woods,"
Yeah.
and the piney woods of Texas. I think there are a lot of Texans who've never spent a lot of time in the piney woods. The Piney Woods are absolutely beautiful.
I think you're exactly right. It took me 20 years of living in Texas to see it and to even know it was there. For someone and my apologies if you've already answered this. Let's say someone in Houston is going to book their tee time and planning their first visit to Wild Spring Dunes. Is there anywhere right now on site that they can stay, or is everyone driving in and out?
So everyone's driving in and out.
Okay.
We're right off of Highway 259, right? And we're about 20 minutes from downtown Nacogdoches. We have a partnership with the wonderful Fredonia Hotel in Nacogdoches. It is a old Art Deco, historic, wonderful site with great food in the heart of downtown Nacogdoches. There are some wonderful private Airbnbs, including some lodges, nearby. So you can put together a pretty good overnight situation. But yet we're close enough that we have folks from the Metroplex and the Houston area driving up and returning home that evening.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate the time. Once again, Wild Spring Dunes officially opens all 18 holes to the public on September 8th. Tom, I'll look forward to seeing you on the 10th and can't wait to see all the updates.
Yeah, well, I look forward to that as well. If I can say one more thing, I
Yes, sir.
want to say
Absolutely.
we have sold out of all our available tee times for the remainder of the year, or at least through November. However, we
Tom,
are releasing.
congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, we are very thankful for that. But we will be releasing some tee times throughout. People can go to our website, www.wildspringdunes.com. Book, they can, we have a tee time assistant. You can request tee times, even for dates that are booked. And if cancellations happen, you'll automatically get the tee time. And you can make tee times throughout all of 2027 right now.
I was just going to ask, how far out in advance can they book?
All of 2027 is
Okay.
open. I would encourage everybody, to book early and book often. And we do also have founderships remaining, which are kind of a hybrid. It's a Wild Spring Dunes is most definitely a public community and destination, but there's kind of a club within the community. It's very, very good. And again, you can get information on our website on real estate. Founder, being a founder, and making a tee time.
That's fantastic, Tom. We appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you at Wild Spring Dunes. Once again, all 18 holes opens to the public on September 8th. And as Tom said, tee time's already available in 2027 with 2026 already booked up to this point. But as you said, Tom, people need to be on the lookout. Wild Spring Dunes could release a few tee times for the rest of 2026 here or there.
There'll be some that come up. Yep. If you want to play, sign up for the date you want to play and let's see what happens.
Tom, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Will. See you soon.